By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله Viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to the early morning program here from the UK, Rise and Shine. It's the beginning of the day, and I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal that not only we have a blessed day, but a blessed week as well. As usual, whenever we start with our program, we begin with a blessing of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, Sallallahu Ta'ala Wasallam. The Prophet of Allah, Sallallahu Ta'ala Wasallam, is reported to have said that whoever recites Durood e Pak upon me 50 times in a day, I will shake his hands on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. How easy is that? 50 times a day is nothing, viewers of my channel. Come on, please make an intention that you're going to recite Durood e Pak at least 50 times during the day. And what will the reward be? The reward will be that on the day of judgment, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will shake hands with you. Now, people, you know, do so much dua, so much ibadah, so that they can be blessed with a vision in the dreams of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You will not be only be blessed with a vision, you'll be blessed with the opportunity to shake the hands of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At what cost? No cost whatsoever. 50 times Durood e Pak, 50 times Durood e Pak will not even take you 2, maybe 3 minutes at the most. What a great opportunity, viewers of my channel. Please avail these opportunities. Please make yourself habitual in reciting Durood e Pak. Please remember these blessings of Durood e Pak. Please pass these blessings on to others so that others become habitual as well. As you know, viewers of Madani Channel, that whenever you watch Arise and Shine, after listening to a blessing of reciting Durood e Pak, we have the privilege and honor to listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. And we're going to listen to the Talawat of the day. Let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والضحى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث الله العظيم.
الله صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. And I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. And what a spiritual upliftment it is. What a fantastic way, in fact, the best way to start your day by listening to some verses of the Holy Quran. And I've said it before and I'll continue to say it. I pray that all of our houses has the benefit and the blessing to be able to listen to some verses of the Holy Quran, preferably first thing in the morning and last thing at night, but if not, at least sometime during the day, that we start our day and finish our days, but if not, sometime during the day, we listen to the Holy Quran. Please make it a habit that you do this, viewers of the channel. But what are we going to talk about today? Before we go to the Quran of the day, I'm just going to basically introduce the topic of the day. As we know, viewers of the channel, that it is the responsibility of every Muslim to call people towards the path of righteousness. And we've talked about inviting people to path of righteousness before, but today we're going to talk about how the prophets did it. How did the prophets call people to the path of righteousness? But for now, we're going to go to the kalam of the day. Let's go to the kalam of the day. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallallahu alayka ya Rasool Allah Sallam alayka ya Habib Allah Chamak tujhse paate hai sab paane wale चमक तुझसे पाते है सब पाने वाले मेरा दिल भी चमकाते चमकाने वाले मेरा दिल भी चमकाते चमकाने वाले चमक तुझसे सब पाने वाले मेरा दिल भी चमकाते चमकाने वाले मेरा दिल भी चमकाते चमकाने वाले मदीने मदीने के खीते खुदा तुझको रखे मदीने के खीते खुदा तुझको रखे मदीने के खीते खुदा तुझको रखे गरीबों फकीरों के ठहराने वाले गरीबों फकीरों के ठहराने वाले मेरा दिल भी चमकाते चमकाने वाले رستہ نگید دیکھ کر اب رحمت برستا نہیں دیکھ کر اب رحمت برستا نہیں
چمکا
بچانے والے میرا دل بھی چمکا دے چمکانے والے چمک تجھ سے پاتے ہیں سب پانے والے میرا دل بھی چمکا دے چمکانے والے
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Viewers of the channel, and I'm hoping that you enjoyed that kalam as much as we did here in our studios in the UK. The topic of the day, viewers of Madhya Channel, today we're talking about calling people to the path of righteousness. But in calling people to the path of righteousness, obviously we understand that it is our responsibility. But we're going to talk today about how the prophets did it. How do the prophets of Allah Azza wa Jalla do this, and what struggles did they take? And hopefully we can learn something from that. And if we realize the sacrifices that they make, one, we'll come to appreciate them even more. And secondly, we'll make us realize that when we are struggling sometimes and calling people to the path of righteousness, look at the sufferings and the trials and tribulations that the prophets went through, and maybe we'll feel a little bit of ease in our hearts, inshallah. It's narrated, that we all know that Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam is one of the prophets of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the Holy Quran mentions stories of his calling to the path of righteousness in detail. It mentions that he announced his prophethood at the age of approximately between 40 and 50 years of age. And he called his nation towards righteousness for 950 years. Yes, viewers of Madhya Channel, 950 years, he called people to the path of righteousness. 950 years. And it stated that he forbade his nation from doing wrong deeds and he ordered them to adopt piety and to only worship the true merciful God, Allah Azza wa Jalla. He preached to his nation for this such a long time, 950 years, Madhya Channel. Obviously, none of our lives are going to be like this. It's because the people of the past, they lived longer. The people of the past, they lived longer. And we hear about the stories of how people, they worshipped Allah Azza wa Jalla for 40 years, 50 years, 80 years, 100 years, 200 years. But this nation that we are currently in, then our lives are what, 70, 80, 90, if that? Hazrat Nur al-Islam, for 950 years, he called people to the path of righteousness. And he tried every method of preaching, but only a few lucky people accepted faith and believed in him. It is stated that the majority of the people were not willing to listen to him or accept the truth. Rather, those unfortunate people would disrespect him in many ways and would trouble him. To the extent, viewers on the channel, that they would hit him so much that he felt unconscious. And it happened once that once when he was unconscious, they actually thought he was dead. And they wrapped him up in a blanket and put him in a house. Yeah, thinking it was a dead body. And then later on, he regained consciousness and he came out and he continued to preach. They strangled him. They suffocated him. He lost his breath. He was unconscious so many times, but he never, ever gave up. And he continued to call his nation towards Islam. And even then, if you look at it, there was times where he said that it's narrated that very few people accepted his message. But that didn't discourage him. He continued to do this. And if we look at this, viewers of the channel, if we look at the story of Sayyidina Nuh al-Islam and the efforts that we realised, the amount of effort that he would put into preaching, it would appear that there is no apparent success. And when I say apparent success, whenever you call people to the path of righteousness, it is always a successful act. However, sometimes we cannot see the apparent success of it. In the same way, viewers of the channel, that when a person plants a seed in the ground, what is his apparent success? He plants 1,000 seeds in the ground and he stood there looking. And he's thinking to himself, nothing's happening here. And he'll come back days later, weeks later, months later, and still nothing's happening. Yeah, and he'll think, I failed. But his job, the farmer, as a result of that, he still doesn't give up. He continues to plant seeds. And he leaves the rest up to Allah Azza wa Jalla. In the same way, viewers of the channel, Sayyidina Nuh al-Islam, although very few people listened to his message, there were very few lucky people that listened to it. The majority of the people were unfortunate. But even then, viewers of the channel, he never gave up. He continued to plant the seed. And it stated that once Sayyidina Musa al-Islam asked Allah Azza wa Jalla, Ya Allah Azza wa Jalla, what is the reward for someone who calls someone to the path of righteousness? And Allah Azza wa Jalla replied that for every word that person speaks, he will be rewarded 1 year of worship. Allahu Akbar. But viewers on the channel, think about it. That when you read that waqiyah, when you read that incident of when Allah Azza wa Jalla was asked the question, He wasn't asked the question, Ya Allah, what is the reward for all those people who accept the call to righteousness? No. What is the reward for the people that call people to the path of righteousness? Our job is to call. Our people is to call out to people and try and call them to the path of righteousness. And never think to yourself, that, look, it's not getting anywhere. I'm not succeeding now. Because sooner or later, you do not know when, you know, there's a saying in English, when the penny is going to drop, the message is going to hit the heart. You don't know when that's going to happen. And there are many, many, many instances, viewers of Madani Channel, that you can, there's many Madani Bahas where people will say that, oh, this Mubalik of Dawud Islam, he came to me, I didn't listen to me, he came to me again, I didn't listen to me. He came to me so many times, I even scolded him, pushed him away from me, swore at him, abused him, but he did not give up. And then one day I thought, you know what, I'll go with you. And now I'm a Mubalik of Dawud Islam myself. So again, we should never give up on people. And here I can give you an example here in the UK. There was an incident, I think I've shared this with you before, viewers on my channel. There was an incident here in the UK where an individual, he was known in the community as an alcoholic. Everybody knew him as someone that drank alcohol. But there was a Mubalik who continued to call him to the path of righteousness. He never gave up on him. And people even said to him, look, you're wasting your time with him. Yeah, he's never going to sort himself out. He's wasting your time. But he continued. And one day on the day of Jummah, he met him in the morning. And he said to him, brother, you know, come, you know, today's Jummah, come to the masjid. And as I said, the penny dropped. Yeah, something happened in his heart and the penny dropped. And he said, you know what? Okay, today I'll go and I'll read Jummah. But I can't go now. What I'll do is I'll go home, I'll have a shower, I'll get clean clothes on, and I'll come to the masjid and I'll meet you there. Now the Mubalik thought to himself, you know what, every time people make these excuses and they never turn up. So I'll go, no, he said, I'll go with you. Yeah, because he thought maybe this was another excuse. So he thought, look, just to get rid of this excuse, I'll go with you. So he goes with him to his house. He has a ghusl. He has a shower. He gets nice clothes on. And he comes to the masjid and he brings him to the masjid. And as he's going to the masjid, and this is a story that happened here in the UK, views of my channel. As they're going to the masjid, he takes a few steps inside the masjid. He has a heart attack and he dies in the masjid. Allahu Akbar. Now, if that Mubalik had given up, well, obviously, viewers of my channel, we believe that death, the place of our death and the time of our death is destined. But that Mubalik played his part. That Mubalik played his part and he never, ever gave up. And similarly, viewers of my channel, we should never give up. I can remember here in the UK, I'm talking now, maybe over 20 years ago, in the area, I remember I was given a small responsibility in a local area. Like a halka zimmedari, yeah? And I remember when I was given this halka zimmedari, and you know, I was told that you've got to call people to the path of righteousness. These are the 12 Madani works, the Daras, the Ishtama, the Bayan, the Kaflas, and everything. I said, okay, fair enough. And I learned these. I'd go to other towns and Ishtamas. And I was all really, really excited, thinking, you know, that this is going to be great. This, we're going to have masses, inshallah, soon. And I remember that within a very short space of time, there was 4 of us. Yeah. Within a short space of time, 3 of us had joined the mahal, and I was so excited, thinking, you know, we're doing well here. At this rate, you know, we're going to cover the whole city soon. And then what happened was, it went from 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4, very, very quickly. But 4 to 5, finding the 5th brother that was going to help us, it took years. And I'll be honest with you, viewers of the chat, there was a time when I'm thinking, look, it's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. You know, and you look back and you think to yourself that at that time you were so down and you thought it's not going to happen. Now, alhamdulillah, you know, the work of Dawud Islam is spread and many, many centres have opened. But if at any time, viewers and mentors, that you feel that, you know, it's not happening, it's not clicking, what we want it to happen isn't happening, then look at Sayyidina Nur Islam, that for 950 years, viewers and mentors, 950 years, he called people to the path of righteousness. And in them 950 years, it is stated that so many people rejected him, very few people accepted his call. And those people that didn't accept his call didn't just say, okay, I don't want to listen to you. Okay, I'm not interested in what you say. Thank you, but no thank you. No, they abused him. Not only verbally, but physically as well. They beat him up to the extent that once he was beaten up, I mentioned earlier on, that he was beaten up and he was unconscious and they actually thought he was dead. And they wrapped him up in a blanket and left him in a house thinking he was dead. But still, he carried on. He carried on with that mission. When you look at the people of the past, maybe you can say they had tunnel vision. Yeah, they had tunnel vision in the sense that they realized that that was the mission. They didn't look left, right, here, there, what's going on here, what's happening here. No, that was their mission and they stuck to it no matter what. Whatever problems came in front of them, whatever situation they faced, they never gave up on that mission. And there's a message there for those viewers on the channel, that when you are calling people to the path of righteousness, don't look at the success. Don't look at the apparent success. And again, I can give you another incident, viewers on the channel. I remember many, many years ago, when we were only four, so to speak, here in this local area where we were, there was a person, he came to our gathering and for the Ijtima, and he asked for a copy of the Quran, and we gave him a copy of the Quran, and we didn't see him after that. We didn't see him after that. And maybe 10, 12 years later, we saw him, and he said to us, look, through the blessings of that gathering that I went there, even though you were only small in number, we were only 7 or 8 of us, I made the intention to read the Quran. And alhamdulillah, I've completed the Quran many times. Before I met you, brothers, I'd never read the Quran at all. Now, Allah Azza wa Jal blessed us with the opportunity to meet that brother 10 or 12 years later. But what I'm trying to say is, even if he didn't, even if Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't bless you with seeing your apparent success, just think to yourself that my success will lie, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, in that dark and lonely grave. My success will lie on the day of judgment when I'm able to cross the bridge of Sirat. My success, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, will lie on the day of judgment when my book of deeds have opened, and it will show that I continuously strived and struggled. It's not a results game. It's not, oh, how many people, you know, did you bring back to the path of... No, it's your effort. You'll be judged on your effort. I remember, you know, even a simple thing, viewers on the channel, in my home, my daughter, when she was studying, I remember saying to her, Bita, that if you do your best, if you do your best and you're and even if you fail your exams, I'll be proud of you. But if you don't if you don't struggle and strive and don't work hard and you get good results, then what is there to be proud of? So struggle and strive and work hard, and whatever your results are, I'll be happy with you. Same here, viewers on the channel, that Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't look at our results. He will look at our efforts, our good intentions, what efforts we made to call people to the path of righteousness. And if we continuously call people to the path of righteousness, then inshallah Azza wa Jal, we will be rewarded. We're going to take a small break now. We're going to go to the reminder of the day, inshallah. So let's go to the reminder of the day. But please stay tuned. When you come back, we're going to give you another example of another prophet, of how they called people to the path of righteousness and the trials and tribulations that they faced as well. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
The biggest cancer in our society is backbiting. It is so destructive that not only does it destroy communities, but it tears down nations. The one who backbites against a Muslim has committed a far worse a sin than fornication. Backbiting can cause a faithless end. It brings torment in the grave. Backbiting destroys one's good deeds quicker than fire burns wood. My dear Islamic brothers, on the day of judgment, we will have to account for all the words that we have uttered. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that on the day of judgment, a person will have his book of deeds brought to him. He will utter, I did such and such good deeds. What has happened to them? He will be told that these deeds were wiped away due to backbiting that you had committed. Now, most mistakes are because of a slip of the tongue. With the tongue, one risks his hereafter by swearing, lying, backbiting and tale-telling. Either speak good or remain silent. My dear Islamic brothers, your Dawat Islami is here to enable you to rectify yourself and to overcome the disease of backbiting. It is a humble request that you attach yourself to the environment of Dawat Islami and safeguard your hereafter.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, that was Elias bhai, MashaAllah, here from the UK, MashaAllah, person that's reverted back to Islam. And now, MashaAllah, he's a Muballigh and he's very active. And not only he was fortunate that he was called back to the fold of Islam, but MashaAllah, now he himself is very active in calling people to the fold of Islam as well. And here in the UK, we actually have a new Muslim centre. It's based here in the north in Rochdale near Manchester. There's a new Muslim centre there that provides services for all of those people that revert to Islam, be it in the form of courses, resolving any of their personal issues, looking after them, taking care of them. There's also a separate sisters department, but there's no residential for the sisters. But for the brothers, there's residential there. We are looking into opening up a residential building for the sisters as well very soon, inshallah. But for the brothers, that service is there. And we're hoping that the services that we provide in the new Muslim centre in Rochdale, inshallah, will become a blueprint for new Muslim centres in many, many other places as well. So again, if any of you that are watching this programme right now, or know of anybody that's watching this programme now that has newly reverted back to the Islam, wishes to receive any help, be it the brothers or the sisters, then please contact us, and inshallah we'll put you in touch with the relevant ayah, the brothers for the brothers and the sisters for the sisters, and they can help them. Take this opportunity to try and call people towards these facilities that Dawah Islami is providing, and please assist us in providing these facilities. Obviously, our new Muslim courses are residential, are completely free of charge. At Jamaatul Madina, the courses that we provide are completely free of charge. Where there are residential facilities in Bradford, Birmingham and in Luton, we provide rooms and accommodation completely free of charge, food free of charge. And again, it comes at a cost. So we ask you as well to support us in this noble cause as well, in calling the masses towards the path of righteousness. We're going to take a small break now. We're going to go to a kalam, inshallah, azzawajal. But when we come back, we're going to give you another incident of how another Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, struggled and strived to call people to the path of the deen. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Mainu shauk Madine jaawan da, mere dil vich hasrat hor nahi, aaka teri marzi e saada te koi zor nahi. تیری مرضی ساڈا تے کوئی زور نہیں میری عقل بھی نہیں میری شکل بھی نہیں مینو یار یار مناون دا ڈھنگ بھی نہیں میرا عشق بھی رومی ورگا نہیں میرا عشق بھی رومی ورگا نہیں میری جامی ورگی ٹور نہیں مینو شوق مدینے جاون دا میرے دل وچ حسرت ہور نہیں میرا عشق یہ کہندا ہے حوصلہ رکھ آقا دا بلا صبری دا پر کی کریے بے صبری دا میرے دل وچوں جان دا چور نہیں تیرے نام دے تذکرے عرشاں تے تیرے حسن دے چرچے فرشاں تے تیرے نام دے تذکرے عرشاں تے تیرے حسن دے چرچے فرشاں تے کوئی تھا نہیں ایسی جس تھا تے کوئی تھا نہیں ایسی جس تھا تے تیرے عشق دا آقا شور نہیں مینو شوق مدینے جاون دا میرے دل وچ حسرت ہور نہیں تیرے ذکر دے چرچے فرشاں تے تیرے عشق دے چرچے عرشاں تے کوئی ایسی جا نہیں جس جاتے کوئی ایسی جا نہیں جس جاتے میرے آقا تیرا شور نہیں مینو شوق مدینے جاون دا میرے دل وچ حسرت ہور نہیں آقا تیری مرضی اے ساڈا تے کوئی زور نہیں تیری قبر تے حافظ لکھواری پائے دنیا بالے لکھ دیوے تیری قبر تے حافظ لکھواری پائے دنیا بالے لکھ دیوے جے دل وچ عشق نبی دا نہیں تیری روشن ہونی گور وی نہیں مینو شوق مدینے جاون دا میرے دل وچ حسرت ہور نہیں آقا تیری مرضی اے ساڈا تے کوئی زور
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. I pray that we can all be blessed with an opportunity to go to the city of Medina. And only fortunate are those, without doubt, are the ones that can go there. It is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla if you have the opportunity to go there. And I pray that we are all blessed with an opportunity to go to the city of Medina. Stand there in front of the resting place of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Send our salatu salam there. Allahu Akbar. If you could just close your eyes for a moment, viewers of my channel, and imagine that you are there. And I pray that we can all bless with truly, truly being there. Viewers of my channel, today what are we talking about? We're talking about how the prophets called people to the path of righteousness and the sacrifices that they made. And before the break, we mentioned early on Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam. Inshallah, now we're going to mention the incident of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. It is stated, viewers of my channel, that Pharaoh, he called himself, he claimed, astaghfirullah, to be a god. And Allah Azza wa Jal sent his beloved prophet, Sayyidina Musa al-Islam, towards him. When Sayyidina Musa al-Islam reached the Pharaoh's palace and invited him towards the truthful religion, and he saw that he was with some of his community leaders, Sayyidina Musa al-Islam said that Allah Azza wa Jal has sent me as a prophet and I have come to you with a message. Now, Pharaoh said to him that, look, you know, I'm God, astaghfirullah. I'm God, and do you realize that I have the power to imprison you? So be careful what you say. So Sayyidina Musa al-Islam still continued, even though he now is being threatened. He now is being threatened and put in jail and being punished. And at the time that when people were put in jail and being punished, very few of them actually came out of jail alive. So, but Sayyidina Musa al-Islam, he wasn't afraid. He carried on and calling his message. And he said to Fir'aun that, look, Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed me with the opportunity to perform miracles. And he said, okay, show me. Fir'aun said, okay, show me. And what he did is, Sayyidina Musa al-Islam, he threw his staff to the ground and the staff grew into a big snake. And then he grabbed hold of the snake, and when he grabbed it and picked it up, it became a staff again. And Fir'aun said to him, any more? Is that all you've got? Any more merit? Anything else? And Sayyidina Musa al-Islam put his hand, it was glowing. Now Fir'aun, he saw these things were happening, but even then his heart was cold. Even then, he still did not accept the message of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And he called upon his advisors, his courtiers, and asked him that, what should we now do? He has done this in front of us. People have seen this. What should we do? And his advisors said to him that you should call all the magicians. Call the magicians from all of the lands. We have superior magicians. He is only a magician. Astaghfirullah. They said that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is just a magician. Call the other magicians, and what we will do is they'll be able to out-trick him. So what an announcement was made that on a certain day, there will be a big fanfare, there'll be a big fair there, there'll be a big event taking place. And so all of the people of the area came to see this event. And at this event, the magicians were brought forward and the Pharaoh instructed them to perform their magic. And they threw sticks onto the ground. And when these sticks were thrown onto the ground, it appeared that they all became snakes. And so people were shocked to see that the land was covered in snakes. Sayyidina Musa al-Islam, he threw his staff to the ground and it became a big snake. And this big snake not only became a big snake, but it ate all of the snakes until there were no snakes left. And then the magicians, they saw this. And when they saw this, they realized that this could not be any magic. This could not be any magic. And so they prostrated and they accepted the message of Sayyidina Musa al-Islam and they accepted the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And we hear like later on the trials and tribulations that Sayyidina Musa al-Islam still tried to call these people, still tried to call these people to the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jalla, but they continuously rejected him. And we hear that later on, Fir'aun, he was, you know, buried alive, buried in the seas of the, I believe it's the River Nile, I'm not too sure, but he was buried in the oceans. But again, viewers of the channel, we learn from this that Sayyidina Musa al-Islam, even though he was being threatened, in this particular incident, he was being threatened that he would be punished, he would be put into the jail. And like I said earlier on, in then times where people were put into the jail, it was not like some of the jails that we have today, that they've got TV there and internet there and they can eat what they want and it's an easy life. No, the jails at that time, people that went into the jail probably never came out of the jail. They were tortured, they were punished inside these jails. But even with that in front of him, Sayyidina Musa al-Islam did not back off. He continued calling people to the path of righteousness. And Allah Azza wa Jalla gifted him with this ability to call people to the path of righteousness. But even then, he did not give up. You know, he still continued to show this, but Fir'aun, again, even then, still did not listen to these miracles, did not accept these miracles. He just accepted them as magic and did not listen to a single word. So again, the message that we get here, viewers on the channel, is no matter what happens in front of you, never give up. And we see that in these particular instances that I just mentioned to you, that the majority of the people did not believe in Sayyidina Nuh al-Islam. If you look at the story of Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam, when he was thrown into the fire, yeah, and the fire cooled around him and did not burn him, even then people did not accept his message. When he was willing to sacrifice his only son, people did not accept his message. When you see about the sacrifices of all of the other Anbiya, of the sacrifices that they met, and yet still people were not willing to accept the message. And many prophets were martyred, yes, martyred viewers on the channel. And all these are examples of trials and patience. The trials and patience of these blessed people, viewers on the channel, is a role model for us. Therefore, viewers on the channel, all of us, we should never think to ourselves that, you know, this path is hard, I'm never going to get anywhere. Always have this mindset that the path to paradise is not going to be easy. The path to attain paradise is not going to be easy. And I think in one of the earlier programs we mentioned the fact that when paradise was created, Allah Azza wa Jalla sent Azza Jibreel Islam to go and look at paradise. And when he looked at paradise and he came back and he said, what did you see? And he said, I saw such a beautiful place that everybody will want to go there. And then paradise was covered in trials and tribulations and problems. And then Allah Azza wa Jal sent Sayyidina Jibreel Islam to go and look at paradise again. And when he looked at paradise the second time and he came back, he said, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, I fear that because of them trials and tribulations, nobody will be able to get into paradise. Then Allah Azza wa Jal, when he created the hellfire and he sent Sayyidina Jibreel Islam to go and look at the hellfire, and when he saw the destruction in there, when he saw the punishment in there, when he saw the fire in there, and all them things that were happening there, he came back and he said, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, nobody will want to go to the hellfire. But then Allah Azza wa Jal covered the hellfire with luxuries and pleasures and all of these things of the dunya. And when Sayyidina Jibreel Islam went and saw that again, and he came back and he said, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, I'm afraid that everybody will enter into the hellfire because it is covered in luxuries and pleasures. Viewers of Mother Channel, like I said, paradise is not going to be easy. Paradise is not easy. Yeah, you have to work for it and strive for it. And like our lives are only 70, 80 years. Yeah. And so what will we be judged on? If we look at how much we'll be judged on, we'll be judged on from the age of intellect, 10 years age, let's say for argument's sake. We live until we're 70, 80. For 70 years, we'll be judged. So 60 years, we'll be judged. The people of the past that lived 1,000 years. Yes, you might think, oh, it'd be great to live 1,000 years. But in them, you know, think about the sins that we committed in 60 years. Just think about the sins we would commit if we lived 1,000 years. Whereas these people of the past, they had this mindset that not look at the sins that were committed in 60 years, look at the golden opportunities we get to call people to the path of righteousness, to perform good deeds as we are living longer. But if we were in that case, even now, viewers of the channel, we see it, don't we? That people, when they begin to, let's say, sort themselves out, rectify themselves, they wait until the beards are going white or the hair is glistening off or they're going bald. And then they think to themselves, you know what? I'm getting close now, Anna. Eh? Death is not far from me now. I better sort myself out. And so what happens is they start going to the masjid. They start performing them good deeds. For all of them years in their youth, they didn't have the time. They were busy earning money. They were engrossed in the dunya. And now as they're coming towards the end, they think, you know what? I'll sort myself out. Whereas the people of the past that lived 1,000 years, if we were to live 1,000 years now, what would we do? We'd end up 950 years, 980 years committing sins. And then maybe for the last 10 years, if Allah Azza wa Jalla gives us the tawfiq to sort ourselves, we try and sort ourselves out. But again, viewers, this is a shaitanic whisper as well. This is a shaitanic whisper where you think to yourself, you know what? I'm going to live until I'm 70. I'm going to live until I'm 80. And then what will happen is, you know, when I get a little bit older, I'll sort myself out. Ignore these shaitanic whispers. You know, even just recently, I heard that there was a young Muslim boy. He was in Birmingham. He was shot and he died. May Allah Azza wa Jalla rest him, may rest his soul. But even then, we're hearing, you go to the graveyard. I think I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago that I went to the graveyard recently. And the grave that I was visiting, the person that passed away, my blessed father, he was 81 years of age. The person next to him, I think they were about 78, 82. I think up on door, you know, either a bit more than my father or a bit less than my father. But just two graves down, somebody had passed away and they were only 39 years of age when they passed away. Allah, when are we going to pass away? How much time have we got? What did you do with your time before you got busy? What did we do with our time? What did we do with our youth? What did we do with our strength? What did we do with our time? What did we do with our money? What did we do with our life? And it's just going by. And I'm not saying to you, and I've said it many times, I'm not saying to you that we don't have to live in this dunya. Yes, we have to live in this dunya. Yes, we have to earn money. Yes, we have to have a livelihood. We have to have clothes in our body. Yes, we need food and drink to be able to survive. But what should not happen is this should not become our priority. Money should be our need, but not our priority. But what's happened is now is money has become our priority and everything else has become secondary. And as we've been saying recently, that our deen has become a hobby now. Our deen has become something that we do when we've got a bit of time. And if we don't do it, it doesn't matter. You know, people have these hobbies and you know, they're doing the hobby and then they give it a break. They don't have a chance to do anything related to the hobby for months, years, and then they come back and do that hobby again for a while, and they get active again in the hobby for 5 months, 6 months, and then they leave it again. Has deen not become our hobby? Or people who call, if you call people to the path of righteousness, has this not become your hobby? You know what I'll do when I've got a bit of time? Yeah, I know the Mubalik of Dawah Islamiyah, I went to the Ijtima, he told me great benefits in calling people to the path of righteousness, but you know what? I'll do it when I've got time. You know, I'll tell you when you should do it. Someone beautifully said to me once, He said, I apply the 3-foot rule. And I said to him, what's the 3-foot rule? He said, you see my arm? My arm's approximately 3 foot. And I said, yeah, okay. He said, whoever comes within that area, all around me, yeah, I give them nikki kidavada. I call them to the path of righteousness. And he said, that's my 3-foot rule. Whoever comes with that area, with whoever comes that close to me, if I'm traveling and I'm on the bus, I'm on the plane, I'm on the train, if someone's sat next to me, I call them to the path of righteousness. If I meet someone in the market and they're that close to me, they start talking to me, I call them to the path of righteousness. Whoever comes within that 3-foot rule, I call them to the path of righteousness. Viewers of Mother Channel, this is again something that we need to try and do. It is our duty to try and rectify the people. Don't look at the success. Don't look at how many people are listening to you. You do your job. A farmer plants the seeds. He doesn't look at see how many. I planted 100 seeds, but only 2 trees came up. He plants 100 seeds and he thanks Allah Azawajal that 2 seeds, 2 trees came up. And if he doesn't, if 100 seeds are planted and no trees come up, then what does he do? He thinks to himself, well, look, them 100 seeds, maybe I didn't plant them in the right place. Maybe I didn't put water on the right place. And he questions himself and he goes and plants them again. He doesn't give up. So we should never give up, viewers of the channel. We should continue to call people to the path of righteousness. Inshallah, viewers of the channel, we're going to take a small break. Now we're going to go to the hadith of the day. Hopefully we'll learn something new, inshallah, azawajal. But please stay tuned, come back, and we're going to continue with the topic of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said in Tirmizi Sharif, At-tajiru as-saduq al-aminu ma'a an-nabiyyin was-siddiqin was-shuhada. That the businessman who is truthful and trustworthy, he will be with the Prophets alayhim as-salam, the Siddiqeen, the highest ranking awliyaullah, and the martyrs of Islam, the shuhada. Now there are so many countless lessons that we can learn from this. Alhamdulillah, there is a great number of Muslims today who are involved in trade, in business. They try to earn a halal, lawful sustenance. But the question is, have we got the knowledge to ensure that whenever we are carrying out transactions, whenever we are doing business deals, that we can save ourselves, protect ourselves from doing something unlawful? So do we know those rules? Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, and he used to say that only a faqih, a jurist, should come to our marketplace. Now why is this? Usury, interest. When people do not know about Islamic teachings, when they get involved in tijara, in business, they hear that tijarat, there's a lot of blessings in it. It's the way of the Anbiya alayhi salam, and it's something commendable, praiseworthy. But they forget that there's a big responsibility that comes with that. When you go to the marketplace, when you are selling anything, you need to know, does Islam accept this way of selling? Am I allowed to put this condition on? Am I allowed to say this while selling? What are the usul, the principles of transaction and trade? So there are so many people who dive into this field because they want to make money, because they want to make a quick pound. And because of this, they end up falling into countless sins. So, respected viewers, if we are amongst those people who are in the field of trade, business, or we are aspiring businessmen, we are someone who wants to come into this field, then first of all, we must learn the knowledge. And instead of becoming the businessman who is truthful, trustworthy, and who will be the Anbiya alayhi salam, the Siddiqeen and Shuhada, we could be someone who ends up with the wrongdoers. Why? Because we haven't learned, we haven't backed ourselves with knowledge. And so this is a humble request. Learn before you act.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, and today we're talking about calling people to the path of righteousness, specifically the method and the lessons that we can learn from the prophets of how they struggled and strived to bring the message to us. And whenever they had a difficulty, whenever they had a problem, They never complained, they continued with their mission, whatever problems they faced. And remember, viewers of Inshallah, that complaining about problems doesn't get rid of problems. You know, complaining about a problem, whatever the problem is, and here we're talking about the fact that nobody's listened to you, but complaining about any problem does not get rid of a problem. We need to sit down, and maybe if we are facing a difficulty, we are facing a problem, whatever problem it is, viewers of Inshallah, that you are facing, think to yourself that, you know, complaining about it doesn't get anywhere. We need to find a solution, and hopefully we can, if we can look at the Quran and the Sunnah, then hopefully we can find a solution as well. And there are many hadiths that have been given to the new to give glad tidings to those people that have a habit of not only having patience but also hiding their problems as well. That's another thing, that what happens is you meet someone and assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, how are you, and then they start a whole lecture on their problems, and that person, he's asked you how are you, but he doesn't really mean it as well. If you want to share your problems, then you need to only share your problems with a select few people. Otherwise, people just aren't going to talk to you because people don't want to listen to your problems. But in the same way, what you should do is you should have patience and sabr, conceal your problems. And, you know, the person who's given you, you know, where that problem has come from, inshallah, Allah will find the source of the relief from that problem as well. Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala stated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala has said that the one who is afflicted in his wealth or health, then he conceals it and does not complain about it to people, so it is upon Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive him. It is a way of getting your sins forgiven, viewers on the channel. So this problem that has come to you, if this problem that has come to you that you're facing, in essence, it is a blessing. It is a blessing because now it's an opportunity for you to get your sins forgiven. And Allama Mawlana Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi Ramatullahi Ta'ala stated, this is the status of those who have a high rank, that they would greet problems like how they would greet peace and happiness. But people like us can at least be patient upon problems and difficulties, and do not let the incoming reward be wasted by crying and mourning. Every person knows that by being impatient, the problem will not go away. Hence, being deprived of this great reward is a double calamity. So when you've got a calamity come to you, you've got a problem come to you, but now what has happened is you've not been patient when this calamity has come to you. And because you've not been patient when this calamity has come to you, then the reward of that calamity, the reward, then you've lost that as well. So you've got like effectively a double calamity. An opportunity gain reward, lost. Calamity come to you, so now you've got a double calamity as well. So whenever these come to you, be patient, viewers of the channel. And sometimes this thought that you can develop in your mind can also remove many, many obstacles for you. And it said that when you do things, viewers of the channel, if you do it with wisdom and strategy according to the situation, then inshallah azza wa jal, you'll be rewarded. So again, whenever you face a problem, don't do a knee-jerk reaction. Think about it. Think about the solution to the problem. Think about the outcomes of following that solution. Think about it. Think about the problem. Think about the potential solutions. Weigh up the potential solutions. Think about what's the best thing to do. Take a deep breath. Do the dua in the court of Allah azza wa jal, and then act upon it. It is narrated, viewers on the channel, that calling towards the path of your Lord with sound planning and good advice. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, translation Surah Al-Nahl, verse 125, call towards the path of your Lord with sound planning and good advice, and argue with them in this manner which is deemed the best. So when you're calling people to, again, do it in a good manner. Do it with planning. Do it with sound advice. Written in Tafsir Siratul Jinan with regards to this, that there are three methods. There are three methods of calling people to the path of righteousness. One, with wisdom. And this refers to the strong proof which makes truth apparent and gets rid of confusion. Two, with good advice. And this refers to encouragement and threat, i.e. encouraging someone to do something and scaring someone from doing something. Three, to debate with everyone in the best possible way. This means to call towards Allah Azza wa Jal with those verses and proof. So these are the three ways: wisdom, good advice, and then obviously to debate with them as well, with good proof as well. And if you understand these views of my channel, then inshallah, calling people towards the path of righteousness will be a little bit easier. But even if you find it hard, that you don't have the knowledge, that you don't have the wisdom, that you don't have the tact, then even then you should never give up. Even just the fact that you say to the brothers, look, brother, time for salah, let's go and read our namaz. If you cannot do anything else, at least remind them that it's the time for namaz, to read the namaz. And inshallah, azawajal, you'll be rewarded for that. Viewers of the channel, we're going to just take a small break now, inshallah, azawajal. When we come back, we're going to continue with this topic. We've got a small package for you. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allama Mulana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has narrated a very beautiful parable just for our understanding purposes, the effects of bad company. Listen to it carefully. It is mentioned that at a river bank, once there was a frog and a rat had come by. The rat and the frog, they had a conversation with each other. And the rat says that they became friends. So the rat says, if I want to meet with you, how do I meet with you? Because normally you stay in the water. And if I call out to you, perhaps you will not be able to hear me. So the frog said, okay, because of our friendship, let's take a thread and tie my leg with one part of the thread on one side and tie your leg with the other side. So anytime you want to meet, we can find our way towards each other. One day, a crow is searching, is praying and searching for a meal, and finds the rat, pounces on the rat, grabs it in its beak and flies away. Now because the frog, the thread is attached to his leg, the frog ends up also in the air, being pulled by the crow as a meal for that crow, and says that this is the punishment of friendship with a silly rat. This shows the company of bad people. They will pull you down with them. Allahu Akbar. If the friends are doing wicked things, evil things, and you are associated with them, people will label you with that as well. Sayyidina Ja'far bin Sulaiman radiyallahu ta'ala an has mentioned, once I saw a dog was walking behind Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, and I asked him, O Abu Yahya, this was his kunya, is it with you this dog, your companion, is he following you? So he rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi replied, this dog is better than a bad company. Allahu Akbar. This dog is better than a bad companion. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. So many ahadith have been narrated regarding the effects of bad company. Don't you remember the beautiful and famous hadith, the summary of which is the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the example of a good and bad companion is like one who is selling musk, a person who is selling perfume, and the bad companion is like a blacksmith. From the good companion, either he will give you some of that perfume and fragrance for free, or you'll buy some for him, or just that environment that you are in with him, some of that fragrance will rub off onto you. And the bad company, if you go into the blacksmith's place, that soot and that smoke and the dirt will end up on your clothing. Hakim al-Ummah Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan rahmatullah ta'ala alayh has elaborated on this beautiful hadith, that how beautiful example the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has given us, that even if you go towards the perfumer, the one who is selling fragrance, he won't give you dirt, he won't give you soot and smoke, and if you go to the blacksmith, he won't give you fragrance. Like this, in good company, you will expect good as well. You will end up becoming good. One of the brothers had mentioned that there was a youngster who started work in a place where there were many Muslim co-workers, and they were punctual with their salah. This youngster was not. Salah time would come, they would go and perform their salah. And one day this youngster, because he was not punctual, he didn't have that realization of the importance of salah, he wouldn't go. But one day he thought, all my other workers, my fellow employees, they are going to perform salah and I'm sitting at work, rather I join them. And he ended up joining them for the salahs as well. This is good company. On the other hand, if you are one who is punctual with your salah and you are with those who are not or indulge in other sins, eventually it will rub off onto you. Just like it is mentioned, the person is known by their friends. When we look at a person's friends, we can realize what kind of a person this individual is. And if your friends, the so-called friends who are out there, if they take you towards bad and evil places, according to Islam, then people will label you as that as well. And we should guard our honor, guard our modesty and our respect as well. Shaykh Allama Muhammad bin Ahmad Zahabi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has mentioned that a person used to remain in the company of alcoholics, those who were drunkards. And when he was on his deathbed, somebody asked him and tried to persuade him to recite the kalima, Allahu Akbar, the article of faith, and reminded him, try to recite this. But he ended up saying that you drink and give me to drink as well, ma'adullah azza wa jal. And like this, in this condition, without reciting the kalima, that person had died. Another person who was fond of entertainments and games and pleasures and so-called luxuries, and was involved heavily in just wasting his time in playing chess, not performing his salah, not doing all these good things. At the end of the day, when he was about to die, somebody encouraged him, recite the kalima, my dear brother. What did he say? He said, your king. And then he died. A'udhu billahi min dhalik. May Allah Azza wa Jalla grant us a good death, a good shaheed death whilst we are fasting in the beautiful city of Madinatul Munawwarah. Grant us burial in Jannatul Baqi, and grant us entry into Jannatul Firdaus without accountability in the closeness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of my channel, you're watching Rise and Shine. And today we're talking about calling people to the path of righteousness and the methods that were employed and the sacrifices that were made by our prophets. And just then, we just had a small package then about good and bad company. And again, that can also reflect on you of enabling you, of helping you. That if you want to be able to call people to the path of righteousness, if you want to be part of this noble act, then if you associate yourself with those people, those pious people who are performing this action, then one, you'll also learn knowledge from them, you'll learn wisdom from them, and it'll make it easier for you to. So when you are struggling, you see everybody around you struggling as well, you find comfort in that as well. So look at the company that you're keeping, and I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we all adopt that company that can enable us to call people to the path of righteousness. Viewers of my channel, alhamdulillah, we have with us online Amiruddin Bhai, all the way from South Africa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah. Acha, Amiruddin Bhai, we're talking about Neki Ki Dawat, calling people to the path of righteousness. And we're looking at the methods or the accounts of the prophets before us. And so far in today's program, we mentioned how Sayyidina Nuh al-Islam, he, for 950 years, he tried to call people to the path of righteousness. How Sayyidina Musa al-Islam tried to call Fir'aun to the path of righteousness, and the acts that he performed and the threats that he was given to him. But again, they never distracted from their mission. So that's what we've talked about so far. But I think, alhamdulillah, now that we've got you online, we'll take some Madani pearls from you about how you can talk about the importance of calling people to the path of righteousness. And if you have any examples with regards to the prophets, if you can share them with us as well.
Indeed, the work of invitation towards righteousness is undisputedly one of the best deeds in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal, and there are many verses that commend it in the whole Quran. Almighty Allah says, and this is from Surah Fussilat, Surah 41, verse 33, and whose speech is better than him who calls towards his Lord and does righteous deed and says, I am a Muslim.
Allah.
It is clear, therefore, that there is no speech that is far better than a person that calls people towards the Lord. That means people towards truth. And that means trying to help to take people out from the darkness of misguidance to the light of truth and faith. Also, Almighty Allah says, engaging in this type of work testifies one's compliance with Allah's command. Because Almighty Allah says, call to the way of the Lord with wisdom and fair admonition, and argue with them in the best possible manner. This is in the best possible manner. This is in Surah Nahl, verse 125. Again, a person who dedicates himself to such a noble task like inviting people to Islam with wisdom and making sure that he understands, the da'i, the person who's inviting, that he understand the temperament of the people that he's engaging with, and chooses the best possible method to carry out the task. That means he has to be kind, has to be gracious in his manner, and he must be appealing to them. So this type of invitation towards goodness had been carried out, as you mentioned, by various messengers. But the foremost in all of them for us was our beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He has been sent by Allah as a witness over all people. And he gave news to the believers of immense reward in the hereafter and a warning to the believers about the severe punishment. And he, alhamdulillah, spread the light of truth to all mankind. So the fortunate ones are those who accepted this light of truth. And the Holy Quran also says in Surah Ahzab, and the translation is, and the Prophet, we have sent you as a witness, as a bearer of good news, as a warner, and a caller to Allah by His permission, and a light-giving lamp. Convey to the believers the good news that they will receive immense favor from Allah. Now, inviting people towards Islam is a source of huge blessings. For such a person who invites to Islam, he will get the same reward for that, of that person who is worshipping, praying, teaching. That means whoever he changes, he will get whatever good that person does, he will be favored with that. And beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned, this is a hadith from Sahih Muslim, whoever calls to guidance will have a reward similar to that of those who follow it, without the reward of either of them being lessened at all. Look at the great reward. And Almighty Allah says in Surah Yunus, verse 72, if you turn away from me, remember, I ask no reward from you, but only Allah will reward me, and I have been commanded to submit completely to Him. The Prophet ﷺ also said in this respect, he said, if Allah guides one man through you, this will be better for you than possessing red camels. This is in Sahih Bukhari. Remember, camels were considered a very valuable property in Arabia, and the red one was the most precious of all. So imagine the reward. Now, how do you invite people to Islam? This is very important. For Almighty Allah says, He describes the correct manner of engaging in such work is characterized by these following qualities. One is, obviously, the person who calls towards deen must be knowledgeable about the truth of his deen. So he must have knowledge. One is very important. And obviously, the least he should do is practice what he preaches. But having the knowledge, not practicing what you preach, will have an impact on how you convey and how the message is received. I'll talk about that a little bit more a little later. But also it's mentioned that he does not have to know everything before he starts calling people to Islam. Whatever he learns, well, Almighty Allah, I mean, beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned the famous hadith, بَلِّغُوا أَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. That means, if you know one verse, convey it from me. That means we don't have to wait and get all the knowledge. Whatever we learn, it means we should convey this to others. And there's a very important point here. If you look at the practice of the companions of our beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whatever they learned in a few days, they used to go out and teach it to others and invite the people to Islam and arouse interest in them. And this was because of the high character. Also, something to ponder upon. It took 23 years for the Quran to be revealed. So they did not wait until 23 years is over and got the knowledge and then started. As soon as they got knowledge of any verse, anything from the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they were hungry. The possessor of Noor brought to them Quran, the ayat of Quran, which is Noor. So from the blessed mouth of beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it pierced their heart and their heart was full of Noor. And when they conveyed it, Noor was coming out from their mouth. And this is how a light spread from one to the other. And they were very successful. And imagine what difficulties they went through in propagating. Many of them were beaten up. Many lost their lives. But look at us. If you look at even beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how much difficulties he went through when he was propagating and spreading this, the truth about Islam. If you look at the incident of Taif, beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to Taif because the people of Taif were reputedly very hospitable people. But when the kuffars from Makkah heard that beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was going to Taif, they sent messengers to say, don't listen to him, that he has in our place turn people from their gods. Allah. He's talking about a new god that you can't see. So they poisoned the people's mind in Taif. So when beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went there, we know about the treatment he had. But this did not deter him. Even when the angels came and said to him, that give us a command, will bring the mountains that was surrounding Taif and will crush the people. Look at his heart. He said that the offsprings will one day will accept Islam. And he did not seek revenge. But this is something very beautiful. Because of his character. And the other is you have to have wisdom. Obviously, to call, because Almighty Allah says in the Holy Quran, call to the way to your Lord with wisdom and fair admonition and argue with them in the best possible manner. Wisdom is the ability to make sensible decision. Because when you are inviting people, you meet all kinds of people. So you've got to change your ways according to the person's character. And in this way, inshallah, you'll find that you become successful. Now, a very important point, you find Amir al-Sunnah, Dhamad Barakatul Aliyah, how he became so successful. He's got millions of people who have been attracted to the path of truth. If you look at his character, when he was from the time he was young, he was dedicated to Islam and he was had an upright character. There's many stories. You find that when Amir al-Sunnah talks, now why is it his words are so impactful? Because his words are light coming from a pure heart. And when light comes from a pure heart, it enters pure hearts. And that's how it changes. You get up at night and read tahajjud, ask Allah Azwajal, because it points out there's something wrong in your own character. That means if our hearts has got light, that light will come out from our mouths. That means they do istighfar, do extra ibadat. And this will help to put impact in our mouth. Just one last story about Amir al-Sunnah and his character. He mentioned once he was walking with the Muballigins and he came to one part of Karachi and there was a group of people, not of good character. And one person, when he saw Amir al-Sunnah coming, he told his friend, see what I'm going to do with this Maulvi. And as Amir al-Sunnah came close to him, he spat gutka on the kurta of Amir al-Sunnah. The other Muballigins were very cross. Amir al-Sunnah said, he did it to me, just leave me, let me handle this. So he went to this person and asked him, why did you do this? He said, because it makes me happy. There was a smile on his face, the typical smile of Amir al-Sunnah. He picked up his kurta, he said, spit more. He said, whatever makes the ummah of my beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam happy, I am happy. Spit more. That person got shocked. He thought Amir al-Sunnah would insult him. He became so ashamed. He said, please forgive me. Amir al-Sunnah said, no, I don't forgive like this. You want me to forgive you? Come and have a cup of tea with me. And look at the character of Amir al-Sunnah. When Amir al-Sunnah did this, that person, because of this treatment of Amir al-Sunnah with kindness, not revenge, not retaliation, not only him, the whole gang of his friend became Muballigs. They came into the mahol of Dawat Islami. And they accepted Amir al-Sunnah as their spiritual guide to understand this message and give us tawfiq also to do it.
Jazakallah, may Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you. Today we've been talking about the calling to the path of righteousness and we heard about the difficulties of the prophets. We heard earlier about Sayyidina Musa al-Islam, Sayyidina Nur al-Islam, and we also heard from Amir al-Din by how the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he went to Taif, he was pelted with stones to the extent that his blessed feet ran down his blessed body. And as the blood congealed in his sandals, the sandals stuck to his blessed feet as well. But it was these sacrifices that were made, these trials and tribulations that were followed. And as a result of this, and if we talk about in future days, we'll talk one day about the trials and tribulations that faced by the pious predecessors, that it's because of these trials, it's because of these tribulations, it's because of these problems that the deen of Islam has got to us today. So we should value this. We should value our deen. We should be thankful to Allah Azza wa Jal that we are amongst the ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one of the ways of showing this thanks is to spread the deen of Islam. Call other people to the path of righteousness. So I openly invite all of our viewers to please attach yourself to the environment of Dawat Islami. Where inshallah Azza wa Jal, Dawat Islami will empower you with those tools, that knowledge that you need that can assist you in protecting your iman and enabling other people to protect their iman as well. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise and shine. and the sun will rise and shine.